We're going to look at the Bible together, so if you could get a Bible out, if you've got a Bible with you, you might want to turn to Lamentations chapter 5 and open that up. That would be very, very helpful for you to be able to follow this. We are going to look at Lamentations 5, but we're going to focus in on the last few verses as we wrap up this series. Again, this chapter has been, it's an acrostic. Each verse begins with a different, with the following letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And again, it's very dark. It feels a little dramatic reading of it. It's a very, very dark expression. What God's people were facing was really, really hard and really, really dark. But there is hope, and I hope that that's what will come out this morning. But you see, the issue for God's people is their lack of obedience to God, their failure to submit to the Lord's authority. And we know as human beings that we are all very, very capable of failing to submit to the Lordship of Christ, to be in obedience to him. I sometimes think over the weeks I've begun to develop a sort of a theory that there should be an etiquette when we're out doing our daily walking, our daily exercising. And I just think some people get it and some people don't. So you see people when they're out for a walk on the path, if they're with someone else, they'll get into single file and make sure that people have got plenty of room around them. They're just being really, really sensitive and careful and worried not just for themselves, but thinking about other people and how they might react. But then you get other people who are just not going to do that. So people who will walk right up the path, right up the middle, no movement. You actually get to the point, you see people coming towards you, don't you? You see them walking and you think, right, what are they going to do? Are they going to go that way? Are they going to go this way? Are they going to go into single file? Particularly if it's a group of three or four, what are they going to do? Cyclists zooming past really, really quickly, keeping within the 2 meters distance and coming into your space and invading that. Then you get a group of lads who come at you, who are out doing their exercise, running in a threesome along the path, and they come right up to you and close up to you. So this is all getting very personal, isn't it? You see what I'm saying here, though? It's very easy for us to be selfish. Now, we do that with one another all too easily, but we do it with the Lord as well. And that was the issue for God's people. They basically knew about God, but they weren't really obeying him or following him very closely anymore. So let's look at Lamentations chapter 5. I'm going to read some of it to us as we go through it. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become fatherless. Our mothers are widows. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can be had only at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Phil picked up brilliantly in his little drama the importance of remembrance. It's right at the heart of this chapter. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. The point is this: God made a covenant with his people, and God's people were covenanted to him. He'd made a covenant, a promise to be in relationship with them. And they're wondering, well, what has happened here? What has happened to us? Has God forgotten us? That's a theme that comes up. Remember, Lord. Now, the thing about a covenant is it's a two-way process. God makes a covenant and we make a covenant. God's people make a covenant to him. It's a bit like when you get married to someone. That's what's why marriage is so important. You make a covenant to one another, to be there for one another, to be with one another, to put one another first, to lay down your life, if you're the husband, for the sake of your wife. You put your partner first. It's a covenant, it's a promise. Now that works if both of you are covenanted to one another. If you're both putting one another first, that's what makes a marriage work. But if one of you gives up and says, well, I'm not going to do that. And some couples get married and they're never really prepared to put the other person first. We sometimes see that happen. Or we go through life and later on we forget the covenant that we have made. That's what God's people had done. They'd forgotten their part of the covenant. God's covenant, he had not given up on his people, but they had given up on him. And so when it says, remember, Lord, what has happened to us, it's an important thing that Jeremiah is saying. He's saying, remember, Lord. It's the beginning of looking for the relationship to be rekindled. Remember, Lord. But as he says it, I'm sure he's also thinking, I need to remember what God has done. And it's terrible, the situation. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers. What we were going to be given has been taken away from us and given to someone else. A hugely painful thing for anyone to experience. Our homes given to foreigners. You can imagine the invading army coming in and evicting God's people from their homes. The sadness and the pain of being moved out of the place that had been your home. The cost of that. We have become fatherless. Our mothers are widows. You know, the fathers, what had happened to them? They had been disappeared, removed. Water, that the living water that we should all be able to drink from freely. We live in Scotland, so we usually have plenty of water to drink. But can you imagine you have to pay for your water? Some of us will go to great lengths to pay for our water. A huge industry has been built up around buying bottled water now. But in our country, we have an abundant supply of it. But here we have you not just an abundant supply anymore. You have to buy your water to drink, that staple of life. One needs to buy it. Our wood can only be had at a price. You can't go out and chop down a tree. You can only buy the stuff that you need. And they're tired and they're weary and they've had enough. Let's read on. Our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Slaves rule over us, and there's no one to free us from their hands. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the desert. Our skin is hot as an oven, feverish from hunger. Women have been violated in Zion and virgins in the towns of Judah. Princes have been hung up by their hands. Elders are shown no respect. So again, the picture is of a breakdown in what is important in society. Our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. So the problems you're facing, the Jeremiah is saying, well, the previous generations got it wrong. And I don't think he's just blaming the previous generations. It's not a case of him saying it's their fault. Why are we getting into trouble? Sin comes down through the generations, and the effects of the previous generation sin are often felt in the next generation. Sometimes that's difficult to kind of break the cycle of sinful behavior. And God's people had experienced this. The slaves rule over us. There's no one to free us from their hands. We have become slaves. In order to eat, we've got to take risks. We've got to struggle just to get enough bread to put on our table. Can you remember what it was like at the beginning of the COVID crisis, when there was a shortage of some stuff and some staples? People couldn't get flour very easily to bake their own bread. That was just a tiny taste of what God's people were experiencing all those years ago. Our skin as hot as an oven, feverish from hunger. There was illness through the lack of food. And then women have been treated terribly in all of this, as so is so often the case when there is oppression and there is difficulty. Women come off the worst. And we've been thinking a lot this week about Black Lives Matter because of the racism we see. But actually, there's all sorts of oppressions that people face in life and in the world today. And so what God's people were experiencing then, that still happens today. Women can be treated appallingly. And we should be aware of that. When people rebel against God, the brokenness that we see in society between races and between men and women are because of our sinful hearts. They're because of the brokenness that is in us that cause us to hurt other people by what we say and by what we do. I love this. I saw a poster this week that someone sent to me, and I was going to show it, but I'm not able to do that. But it says this: we're allowed back to work, but you've got to remember to avoid men. And men stands for mouth, eyes, nose. Instead, follow women. And women stands for W, wash your hands. O, obey social distancing. M, mask up. E, exercise and eat well. N, no unnecessary travelling. But it was the principle, avoid men, instead follow women. So that's a little aside, if you like, but there's something terrible that has happened in culture then, and in culture here, where women face an oppression at the hands of men. It is shocking and it is horrific to us. Not only that, princes have been hung up by their hands. If leaders were caught, they were executed and hung up in public. And elders are shown no respect. You see, there's another oppression. Used to be then in our culture that older people were respected. I hope that that still happens, but I wonder whether those of us who are younger, whether we truly respect where all the experience, all the life experience, all the things that older people have learned, putting them in a place of honour in our communities. And actually, right now, that should be all the more important because of this disease is affecting the older generation in particular. Let's honour the older people that we know who are our friends and our loved ones. Let's put them in a place of respect. Jeremiah goes on, young men toil at the millstones, boys stagger under loads of wood, the elders are gone from the city gate, the young men have stopped their music. Can you imagine that? The young men stopping their music. They make music. Young people love music. It has always been thus. Young people play music. Some of us who are older love music and we listen to it endlessly. But the music has stopped. The elders are gone. The music has stopped. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate with jackals prowling over it. It's a terrible picture. Joy has gone from our hearts. Some of us this morning will feel this. Where's the joy? Never mind where is the love. Where is the joy? What has happened to us? Our dancing has turned to mourning. Some of us love to dance, and maybe we've not had the opportunity for months to be able to do that. The crown has fallen from our head. God's people were his crown, and it has fallen. The crown has fallen. Why? Because we have sinned. Sin separates us from God, and it damages our relationship with him. Our hearts are faint, and because of these things, our eyes grow dim. We cannot see clearly anymore what it is that God has for us and what we're called to be and to do. Mount Zion is desolate and the jackals are prowling over it. But there is hope. This is how this book ends. You, Lord, reign forever. From your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? But restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. There are three things that Jeremiah, actually four things that Jeremiah might help us think about today. The first one is to remember. As he calls upon God to remember the covenant, he's causing himself to remember who God is and what God has done. When we think about Trinity Sunday, it helps us to think about who God is and what he has done. That's why it's such an important day in the life of the church, to remember the work of the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity. So we remember today who God is and what God has done, but there's some other things that Jeremiah is remembering. First of all, he remembers that the Lord reigns. Whatever is happening to God's people, he does that thing of saying, well, God is still in charge. He is still on the throne. He is still in authority. Be easy for us to give up on that and to say, well, where is God in the midst of it? That is a common response to a time of trouble. But God's people, historically and traditionally and biblically, have always said, well, hallelujah, anyway, God remains on his throne. That cannot be given up. He doesn't give it up. He's still there. The question is, will we respond to that by honouring him, by worshipping him, by putting him first? So the first thing is that from those last few verses is that the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. And the question for me is, well, does he reign over me? Does he reign over me? Am I conscious of that? Am I allowing him to be in charge and helping me in what I think and what I do and how I respond to the day-to-day situations that I face? The Lord reigns. The second thing is this. The Lord restores. Did you see that? In verse 21, restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Restoration is an important feature in the life of God's people. It's a constant sort of refrain, restore us, O Lord. And how God restores all sorts of things. Here's just a few examples. So, for example, in Luke 8, 26, where Jesus restores a demon-possessed man, a man who'd been possessed by demons was restored to full life. The disciples were always worried about whether the kingdom of Israel was going to be restored. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Acts 3, verse 21 says this, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Or how about Paul's sight being restored in Acts chapter 9, verse 12? The apostle Paul received his sight after being blinded. So the Lord is in the business of restoration, about bringing back that which has been lost. Some of us long for restoration of normal life. That's what we hope to see happening, restoration of normal life, day-to-day life, going back to what it was. And we long to see that restored. Now, God willing, we will begin to see that begin to happen. But maybe life will not be exactly as it was before this crisis. In fact, it's almost certain that it won't be. We'll be living with the economic consequences and so on. But we can pray that restoration will happen. But what about those of us who feel broken and bereft and we've got it wrong and we've fallen and things have got, we've made bad decisions in our life? The Lord says to us today, I'm in the business of restoring you. Just as Jeremiah says, Lord, would you restore us to yourself? Not restore us to the position that we were in, but restore us to that relationship. The most important thing in life is to be in relationship with you. So question for me today, Lord, is, Lord, will you restore me to yourself above all things? Will you help me to walk with you? He restores us. And the third thing is this, the Lord renews. Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. He goes on, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Jeremiah knows that judgment has been upon him, but he knows that there is more to the story. And God is in the business of renewing people as well, not just restoring people, but renewing people, renewing us to a fresh relationship, both with one another, but also with him. You see, the thing we should long for in the nations is a renewing of the relationships between the races. So in the United States, where there has been segregation historically, and we've had all that involvement in establishing the slave trade, we are guilty in all of that. Our, some of our cities, the city of Glasgow, is a lot of its wealth has been based historically on the slave trade. And we should repent of that and ask forgiveness for it. But we don't live in the past. We want a new relationship. We want to have a renewed relationship with people of different cultures and different races. That's what we should be shooting for. But we also want to have a relationship renewed with God. Now, we can't do that in our own strength or in our own power. But God makes a way where there seems to be no way. The Lord renews. He reigns over us, he restores us, and he renews us. Titus, the letter of Titus in the New Testament says this: he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. You see, that says to us that God is in the business of renewal. He wants us to be in a renewed relationship with him. The most beautiful and the most wonderful thing imaginable is to know God and to walk with him. So to receive Christ and to welcome him as the one who rules over us, as the one who restores us, as the one who renews us, and to be filled afresh with his Holy Spirit. Will we do that today and enjoy that renewed relationship with him? And the renewed relationship that that can lead to with other people. So wherever you are today, may you know God's restoring power, and may you know his renewing power in your life. May God bless you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words to us this morning. I pray for anyone this morning who needed to hear about you reigning, you restoring, you renewing. Reign over us. Restore us where we have failed and where we feel that we've got it wrong. Restore us, Lord, to relationship with you, and renew us, Lord. Renew us that we would know how precious we are to you, and that you would fill us with joy again at being in relationship with you, that we can be in relationship with you and lead others and let others see who you are and what you've done. And for anyone listening to this who doesn't know any of this, this is all new to them, Lord, would you help them today to know your presence, to welcome you into their lives, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.